and that'll help us that much more.
Yeah, and how did you feel like practice went? Just your overall feelings through? I know that, you know, wouldn't have been fun to go into the couple of weeks without playing, having lost a couple in a row. But now that you've gotten a chance to work on stuff, do you feel like you made some progress?
I really do, especially this week. You know, these three practices that we've had, you know, talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and today of this week, were really, really good, productive practices for us. You know, we've been practicing A.J. Archambault at quarterback, so that was he got some valuable reps last week and this week. It was very, very productive, we'll say that.
This week, we talked a little bit about it last week, but it sounded like you were going to run last week kind of like an introspective type of deal, and maybe you just started over Saturday or Monday anew and probably dealt with the roughers like you would on a regular turnaround.
Absolutely. No question, no doubt. A lot of, you know, got our game plan in and our scout cards and all that stuff. Yeah. We've drawn all those up and gone through all their stuff and scouted them, so we're ready to go.
Talking with Bartlesville head football coach John McKee here ahead of the Bruins and the Ruffers. It's your first time with a 0 week, so it's your first 0 week. Looking back on it now, after you guys made that decision, of course a lot of other teams in the area chose to do that. What do you think about it, having the bye week, chance to get healthy?
Well, I mean, like I mentioned, it hit us at the perfect time. It was good for us because we were able to get healthy, get some guys back. But other than that, I just felt a little weird. You know, last Friday, just all week, actually, you know, with not having a game and, hey, I'm supposed to be doing something on Friday night. Mm-hmm. But just kind of one of those things. But, again, it was beneficial for us.
And if you wanted for some reason to not have one next year, even though you have to play the same teams, could you switch around the dates if for some reason that's something you wanted to do?
No, that's not. Well, I mean, once
I didn't know if that's how that worked or not, because if I remember correctly, when they first instituted this, which I think was last year or the year before,
yep.
I thought we were in the middle of a two-year cycle,
and
it was the second year, so some teams did do that,
sure.
But now they're not going to allow you to do it in the middle again?
Right. I mean, you know, we're in the first year of our two-year cycle, so we're going to play the same teams next year. It's just, you know, you flip-flop home and away, so.
You kind of already touched on this a little bit, but I wanted to get to it again. You had some guys banged up. I know that there were concussion concerns and
sure.
things like that with a few guys, and you touched on Garrett Meidel a little bit. But health-wise, how did some of the guys that were banged up work?
We're getting all those guys back, and, you know, a big part of our offense and what we do, and a guy that gives us, you know, another big body up front is Ryan Haney. You know, didn't play and was out last week, but we got him back, and he's healthy, which is going to help our offensive line. You know, move some other guys around, make some adjustments, and I really like where we're at right now, especially with our guys up front, our offensive line. They're gelling, they're playing well, playing hard, and like I said, you know, these last two, I mean, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, they had really, really good practices.
Anything in particular that you guys worked on, you really tried to stress, especially before you were trying to get ready for Muskogee, let's say last week?
Do not turn the ball over. How about that?
Okay, sure. Can you practice that?
we practice it all
okay,
the time.
Good.
We just hadn't been very good at it the last couple of weeks.
All right. And so a little bit undetermined of who will be at quarterback just yet on Friday night when Muskogee comes to town. We'll talk about the Ruffers specifically, and also we'll talk with the Bartlesville offensive coordinator coming up here in just a second. Through three games, what has pleased you the most? I know that you've only gone 1-2, but let's find a positive. What's pleased you the most through the first three games?
Well, defensively, we talked a little bit about this last week, but defensively, we played not that bad. Kids have stepped up, and they're getting better, and they're playing hard. Offensively, you know, we put them in some bad situations and some bad spots, but I'm really pleased with our defensive play thus far. Really am. I'm really proud of those guys. Again, a lot of new faces on that side of the ball. I think we only have two returning starters. So, but, you know, they're getting better and playing really well right now.
Talking with Bartlesville head football coach John McKee. Andrew Rice is on hand as well, as we'll talk about the Bartlesville offensive side of the football here in just a moment. And also we'll preview the Bruins and the Ruffers. We'll head a little bit into that 7 o'clock hour, so that way you get your full 30 minutes of Coach McKee. Don't worry. We will still give you 30 minutes of John McKee this evening here on K1. We'll take our first break. We'll come back, and we'll talk with Bartlesville offensive coordinator Andrew Rice and Coach McKee when we return to Garfield's in the Washington Park Mall. You're listening to the John McKee Show on K1. AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Welcome back to Garfield's in the Washington Park Mall on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. It is the John McKee Show. Hope that your Wednesday evening is going well. We've got Bartlesville offensive coordinator Andrew Rice with us this evening. Had Kyle Poole last week, so you've got to live up to Coach Poole's expectations from last week. We've had you both in here before, but how'd you enjoy your bye week? We talked a little bit about it. Sounded like you went and scouted a club or two.
Yeah, I went and watched a couple games last week just to get a feel. It's always different watching guys in person than it is, you know, on film. So it's always nice to see that in person.
I know that we talked about this last year when you were on the program as well, but if you could maybe run us down your background a little bit before we start talking X's and O's a little.
Right, so graduated from Northeastern State in Tahlequah, and then spent a year at Bixby and 2 years at Sand Springs, and going on year two here in Bartlesville.
How do you like Bartlesville thus far?
It's great. I love it.
Talking with Bartlesville offensive coordinator Andrew Rice this evening on the John McKee Show. Obviously, they had some success offensively before you got here. You got in on Colton Penrod's senior season, and, of course, the tremendous year that Bartlesville had last year, one of the best years in school history. A little bit of a different challenge this year for you, I would guess.
Yeah, right. I mean, every team is different. This one, you know, we've just got to find a rhythm. So much about playing offense is just having a rhythm to things. And it seemed like we did some good things week one. And then before we could really build on that, had to face some injuries. And now it's just, how are we going to overcome that? You know, how are we going to respond to adversity? And that's something that we've preached to the guys all the time. And now we've just got to follow through with.
I find it so interesting when you look at different sports and how much one individual can affect a team. It's so much different in different sports. You know, you look at basketball and LeBron James. I mean, he can have the football the basketball every single play. Baseball, it's really hard for someone to take over because you only get to bat once every 8 or 9 guys or what have you. In football, that's usually the case except for the quarterback. The quarterback on offense has the ball each and every single play, and I know it's got to be hard when you're shuffling through 2 or 3 different guys on the fly that are young and haven't really been in that position to begin with. And, of course, we're talking about the injury to Garrett Meidel going into Owosso, and then you've had both Will Walton and A.J. Archambault back there who have had their moments, but it's got to be just a tough position for you and also for them to be in, kind of cycling through when they haven't had much experience at it yet.
Yeah, you know, so much of what we do on offense flows through the quarterback. He's got a lot of decisions to make, and he's got to get us into some right spots and what our offense does. And you know, I didn't do a good job preparing guys to step up once Garrett, you know, went down. And we're fixing that. We had the bye week to kind of work on that. And I think I'm doing a better job with that now. But, you know, whoever's back there, they've just got to understand that they're what makes our offense go. And, you know, we've just got to make better decisions back there.
Talking with Bartlesville offensive coordinator Andrew Rice here on the John McKee Show. We're at Garfield's in the Washington Park Mall. Coach McKee, you have a question for Coach Rice?
Sure. How many touchdowns are we going to score on Friday?
Enough.
Enough.
There you go.
Okay, there we
go. It's a great answer.
You know, talking about A.J. Archambault, let's talk about him for a second because he's been the main weapon on offense this year. Unfortunately, he can't throw it and catch it on the same play. That'd be spectacular because he's a tremendous athlete. You know, he came in at quarterback in Owosso, and you could tell he was kind of keyed up. A lot of throws were high. It looked like he had really settled down and gotten to a little bit of a groove against Kasha Hall a couple of weeks ago. He was on target a little bit more. There were still some turnovers, but how did you feel like he progressed? It just appeared, like, from watching in the press box that he was a little bit more on key the longer he was out there in the pocket.
Yeah, AJ is just – he's just a gamer. He's one of the most coachable kids I've ever been around, and he's a playmaker. And so whatever position he's in, he's going to do some good things. Like I said, I've just got to put him in better situations, and I think now having a couple weeks, him and I getting to work together and him understanding what we're really trying to accomplish will help him a lot. But the kid's a gamer. I mean, whatever we ask him to do, he's going to go and do it, and he's going to do it well and at a high level. So We've just got to allow him to do that.
At the wide receiver spot, you know, where does he rank as far as what you've seen in your time in 6A Oklahoma football here?
He is pretty phenomenal. Like I said, the things that he can do, and that, you know, last year when you look at him the first three games before he figured it out, and then it clicks week four, and then you look at what he did the rest of the season and what he was able to do week one this year when he was really, you know, everybody knew about him. It doesn't matter. The kid's going to work at it. He's going to be determined. He's going to go catch the ball.
Talking with Bartlesville offensive coordinator Andrew Rice, you know, running game has been better this year, and I know it's a little bit different. Jaron Hilger was a little bit of a smaller guy, kind of a scat back, as Coach McKee, I believe, referred to him a couple weeks ago. You've got two big guys back there now, and really when you look at the entire team, both defense and offense, offensive line is probably where you guys have the most returners. How do you feel like all that's gelling through the first two or three weeks? I know that you have had some injuries there as well.
Yeah, we've had some injuries, and like I said, you know, we've had some guys that aren't prepared, and that's my fault, and we've worked through that the last couple weeks trying to get them, because in reality that should be the strength of our offense this year, is being able to physically wear people out, and I think we're starting to make strides in that area, and we've just got to continue to build on that cornerstone, you know. And I said it last year in November, there's going to come a time where we've got to be able to run the ball if you know, we want to do all the things that we talk about wanting to do as a team. And so we've just got to really build around those five and then those two running backs.
Both DeAndre Young and Joe Lard, I'm glad you mentioned the running backs, are very talented athletic guys in the backfield, especially Mr. Young. You know, as a freshman last year, he got a lot of touches as kind of the secondary back with Jaron Hilger, who Bartlesville didn't really have the year prior to that. And then you've seen his touches only increase as we've gotten into this season. Talk a little bit about DeAndre Young.
Yeah, so DeAndre kind of fits into that same mold as AJ as far as coachability. You know, you can show DeAndre something once, and then he can go out and do exactly what you're talking about on the field. The kid is strong. He's strong as an ox, and he's tough, and he can do a lot of multiple things. He can be a downhill runner. He can, you know, wiggle a little bit. We can get him out of the backfield. It just makes it easy on us when he can do multiple things, and it really helps our offense out big time.
And I know that we only really got to see him for one game, but at the quarterback spot, Garrett Meidel, it looked like he could be pretty special after just one game through McAllister. He made a lot of really athletic plays. He had that long touchdown run right before the end of the second quarter. He made some really spectacular throws to A.J. Archambault for touchdowns in that ball game. And I know that Coach McKee always talked about him just getting the reps and getting used to the spot, and it must have been tough for him to not be able to play in those non-district games, but it appears like he's an athlete who can really help you going forward when he gets healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. A smart kid with a big, strong arm who, like you said, is athletic. And like we said before, you know, the rhythm of the offense, trying to get into a rhythm, and it seems like once we got going, we get sidetracked with an injury, and so we're just hoping that he can bounce back and kind of pick up where he left off and build from there.
And I didn't want to forget about another returner on offense, Braden Mayhew, who is, aside from AJ, one of your leading wide returners or wide receivers back from last year. And he's had some success. He got back on the field, and he's the only one outside of Mr. Archambault who's caught a touchdown pass this year. And how nice is it to have someone that's got that kind of speed that can almost kind of blend in with some people? I know we've talked about that some last year, but he's a shorter fella, and sometimes I think they lose him over those big linemen.
Sure. Yeah, Braden's great. You know, we have some other receivers that are really stepping up, Baron Tanner and Gavin Jones, and we just – all those guys kind of have to fill their role and support AJ, because with what AJ does, he's able to open those guys up, and getting guys like him and Taylor Cobb and John Conan and Mayhew and all those guys, I mean, they're getting better looks because people are focusing their attention on AJ. So we've just got to be able to capitalize, and those guys have got to step up and really rally around that and make some plays for us.
And I don't necessarily want to talk about last season a lot, but it felt like that's something that we got to see a lot with AJ Parker and AJ Archambault on the field together. I don't know how much you can credit AJ Parker with Archambault's success, but I would get he was so good at the wide receiver spot last year that that had to have helped him break free a little bit.
No, that's absolutely right. And what we do, you know, throwing the ball on offense, we always tell our guys either you're open or you're getting somebody else open with the route that you run. And so that's absolutely key. And what we're talking about, you know, is people are going to focus on number 11, and sometimes he's still going to go get open and make a catch. But when he's not, those other guys are going to be in spots to make plays, and it's just getting them to get comfortable and step up and make those plays.
Bartlesville offensive coordinator Andrew Rice. Bruins 1-2. They take on Muskogee. Muskogee on Friday for homecoming. We'll talk about that a bit coming up with the head coach of the Bruins, John McKee, and Coach Rice. You're listening to the John McKee Show on K1. We're at Garfield's in the Washington Park Mall. And once again, thanks to Taco Mayo and OK Federal Credit Union for helping us bring you this program this evening. We'll talk about the Bruins and the Ruffers coming up next. You're listening to K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Welcome back to Garfield's in the Washington Park Mall. John McKee Show on K1, AM 1400 and FM 93.3. We can talk a little bit about the Bruins' specific matchup against the Ruffers coming up on Friday night. Of course, Bartlesville coming off a bye week. Bruins are 1-2. Muskogee, a little bit the surprise of the district. Ruffers are 3-0. They've beaten Midwest City 16-12. McAllister, who the Bruins own their win over, 51-13. And then they beat Bentonville West, Arkansas this past week. That's a team that I believe just started a football program or something like that, right? They don't have any seniors?
Yeah, this is their second year, I believe.
Okay, yeah so that's a newer team out of Arkansas. They beat them 62-13 last week. First time Muskogee has been 3-0 in 10 seasons since 2006. And, of course, they're led by Rafe Watkins, who came from Guthrie. And I know that a lot of people in the state were kind of expecting Muskogee to turn things around under his leadership. He's been in high school football in Oklahoma for 23 seasons. He's won 56 and 58. So maybe only a matter of time before the Ruffers started giving us trouble here in the east side, 6A District 2.
No doubt. You know, Coach Watkins is a great high school football coach, been doing this for a long time. And it takes some adjusting. It takes some time to, you know, to adjust to a new coach when you take over a program. He's doing a good job, and he's got his kids playing hard. They're I mean, as you mentioned, they're 3-0 and ranked number 3 in 6A2, and he's doing a good job. Tremendous coach. Have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Watkins. He does a great job. But, I don't know if Muskogee's a surprise to a lot of people, especially in 6A2, because they were pretty good last year. They were, athletes all over the place. They were young last year, but they've grown up, and they're playing really well. So I don't see it as too big a surprise to me. So.
Yeah, because they went 3-7 this past season, but when I was reading a little bit about their year, and I think we saw this even, in fact, against the Ruffers in Bartlesville, out of those 7 losses, they had leads in the fourth quarter in 5 of them.
Yeah.
So they were just a few minutes away from perhaps being not only a playoff team, but one of the better teams in our district as well.
Well, I mean, you take our game last year, we're down 21-7 to them, and we got to make a comeback and come back and win that ball game. Late in the year, I think they played Bigsby week 8 or something like that. And it was when Bigsby, got all of their guys back and healthy, and they took them down to the wire. So I think that was a 1 or 2 point ball game. If they win that game, they're in the playoffs and Bigsby's out. So
that would have been nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking back on it, that would have been nice. But is what it is. But, I mean, they're very, very talented football team. You look at them offensively, they're big up front. They've got a very talented running back, all kind of receivers all over the place that are very talented, speedy receivers, and they've got a quarterback that's young. He's very steady, he's very smart, and does a good job of taking care of the football.
Yep, those guys that Coach McKee were talking about, Jacob Medrano, a first-year starter for Muskogee at the quarterback spot, but he's had a lot of success for them this year. Volaj Gilbert is kind of their main returner on offense. He's the running back, rushed for 864 yards, 11 scores last year. Through the first 2 games of this season, he had 180 yards and 40 carries. So those will be the duo in the backfield. On the offensive side of the ball, kind of split out wide, Cameron Curl, the main guy back at wide receiver. He's a Division I guy on the defensive side of the football,
sure.
Someone who is kind of like an A.J. Parker type of guy. 3-star recruit on defense, got offers from Tulsa, Memphis, Wazoo, Illinois, and he verbaled to Texas Tech.
Very, very talented young man, covers a lot of ground at the safety spot for them on defense, and he's a guy that we're going to have to know where he's at. Because, like I said, he can make plays, and very speedy and covers a lot of ground. He reminds me a lot, and I hate to make this comparison, but he reminds me a lot of a Ryan Broyles when Ryan was in high school. Just a tremendous safety.
They've got 7 starters back on defense. So that may be one of their biggest strengths coming into this season. They've allowed 12, 13, and 13 points. And, of course, you know how good McAllister is. By the way, that 51-13 win over McAllister, that was the Buffalo's first double-digit loss in four seasons that Muskogee handed them back in week number two of the season. Of course, they were 0-2 after they came to Custer Stadium and got beat as well. They run a 4-3 defense, solid front seven. A lot of those seven starters they return are back on the front seven. And they've been on the road a lot. Muskogee's third road contest in their first four games of the season. So they're not going to be startled by coming to Custer Stadium.
Absolutely not. And they've been here before. And I think the last 4 years, I think we've won three out of the last four. So we kind of had the upper hand on them. But trust me, they're going to come in here wanting to get a little revenge from last year, last couple of years. And we're going to have our hands full.
Homecoming this week. Younger team, does that present any challenges for you, or is that kind of overblown?
Well, I mean, it not too much. You hope that it doesn't. If we have a distraction, it's going to be tomorrow. tomorrow's a busy day for us.
Sure.
Because I mean, we'll go out and we'll have our walkthrough, our practice, and then from there we'll go to team dinner at 4:30, and then right after that we're downtown for the parade. And right after the parade is over, then we have the downtown pep rally that we hope that everybody comes out to. It's a tremendous, tremendous event for not only for our football kids, but our high school. And it's a great time for our community. So I think it's an awesome, awesome event that we want people to come to.
Yeah, and that was what I was going to get to next, because the last couple of seasons I've been here and been down there for that. A ton of people. I mean, thousands of people have kind of blocked in on Frank Phillips Boulevard down there. There's going to be a parade and then the pep rally to follow. All that kind of begins at 6 o'clock. There's some vendors and there's stuff to eat, and it's a good time. It's a family-friendly type of thing. And so if you're in the Bartlesville school systems whatsoever, you know, lower school, middle school, high school, whatever, bring the kids out, have some cotton candy or whatever, go to the parade.
Absolutely.
and then go to the pep rally, and then get ready to watch the Bruins and the Ruffers on Friday night.
No doubt. You know, and I'll say this about the downtown pep rally. You know, the people that put that together, you know, talking about Lori McCoy now, we should be certain, but she does a tremendous job trying to put this together, and all of our people, you know, from Alex to, you know, Clint Musselwhite, who's going to MC it. All those guys do a great job of putting this event together, and it's a special event. And as you mentioned, the parade will be at 6 o'clock. Following that, I think the downtown pep rally part will start around 7. And then that should wrap up about 7:30-ish, somewhere in there. And then right after that, you'll love this. Coach McKee's going to be in a dunk tank.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, shortly thereafter. So if anybody wants to come out and take some cheap shots at Coach McKee, you're more than welcome to.
Well, there you go. Bartlesville and Muskogee coming up Friday night. Of course, we'll be there with our usual game broadcast. Kickoff at 7, pregame at 6:30 here on K1. And then we'll also be out there early for the K1 tailgate party south side of Custer Stadium. And homecoming's a good one to get there early for. So come out early, eat a hot dog and a hamburger. You can take in some of those homecoming festivities before the ball game, and then hopefully take in what should be a good one between Bartlesville and Muskogee as the Bruins begin district play against the Ruffers not tomorrow night, but Friday night at Custer Stadium. Coach McKee, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, as always.
For Coach Rice and John McKee, I'm Evan Farbach. Thanks to Trey Stump back in the studio who hung with us here at the beginning of this thing. Once again, it's going to be 6:30, 7 o'clock kickoff Friday night at Custer Stadium, Bartlesville and Muskogee. And, of course, you can listen to that online as well at BartlesvilleRadio.com. Thanks to Garfields here in the Washington Park Mall, OK Federal Credit Union, and Taco Mayo. We'll get you back to regularly scheduled programming. This has been the John McKee Show on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.